Hey guys, today's episode of Table 40 on the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network is presented by our Increase store and our Bible in a Year engagement journal, which you should pick up your copy today, especially with Matt and Leslie going through the Bible in a year. This is the companion that's going to help you, the guy that's going to help you through the passages of Scripture each and every day. You want to get this journal right now at theincrease.com. Theincrease.com. It's affordable and it's the perfect companion to help you grow in your faith and to stay connected to God through His Word each and every day. The Bible in a Year Engagement Journal. Get yours today at theincrease.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Table 40 Podcast. Matt and Leslie here with you today as we continue to work our way through the Bible. But today is going to be our last day on the podcast for a while. We're going to take a break as we can. We look forward to this summer and the kids getting out of school and everything that we have going on. And we've decided that we're going to put the podcast on pause until the fall. And hope that you guys continue to read your Bibles and go through the Bible in a year. But we have four kids, as most of you guys know, and we have lots of activities. The summer gets very busy for us. There's lots of travel and finding time to put 100% of our effort into a once a week podcast and really dedicate our time to making sure that we're doing everything we can to put out a good product. We've decided to make this the last podcast for a while, but we're super thankful for all that you've listened and walked through the Bible 136 days. We pray that you would continue to push through to the full year of reading your Bible, and we just feel like that this is a time in our lives where we need to step back and with all the things that we have going on. But hopefully, you know, when things slow down a little bit in the fall, we'll look at maybe doing something different and maybe coming back and doing a little bit more of the podcast. But as of now, we'll let this be the last one and talk a little bit about what Acts has to say and move along.
Yeah. I love this week's reading. And I think for me, like, you see this repeated pattern over our reading this week in the book of Acts about the life of Paul. And Paul has had the opportunity several times under periods of stress to where he has this opportunity to tell a story. And for me, it caused a lot of reflection this week as I was reading about my story of coming to Christ. And we see here in Acts 22, he said, "This is who I was. I was zealous for God, just as all of you are today." In verse 4, "I persecuted this way to death, arresting and putting both men and women in jail, as both the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify about me." And he's saying, like, this is who I was, and you guys knew this about me. This is who I once was. And then it goes on to say in verse 6, "As I was traveling and approaching Damascus, about noon, an intense light from heaven suddenly flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I'm Jesus of Nazareth, the one you're persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice. And I said, 'Well, what should I do, Lord?' And the Lord told me, 'Get up and go into Damascus, and there you will be told everything that I have been assigned to do.' Since I couldn't see because of the brightness of the light, I was led by the hand of those who were with me and went to Damascus. Someone named Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, who had a good reputation with all the Jews living there, came and stood by me and said, 'Brother Saul, regain your sight.' And in that very hour, I looked up and saw him. And he said, 'The God of our ancestors has appointed you to know his will and see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. Since you are a witness for him to all people who have been seen and heard, and now, why are you delaying? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name.'" And I think all of us share a similar story to Paul. Obviously, there's details that are going to vary in all of our lives. But I think those of us that are Christians, we remember what it felt like to encounter God for the very first time, to encounter Jesus for the very first time, and to understand that encounter gives us an opportunity to be a faithful witness over the course of our life. And so when I think about my life, I remember vividly when I rededicated my life to Jesus. I was raised in a church. I know I've shared this with many of you before. I was raised in a church. I have amazing grandparents and parents, and went to Higgins United Methodist Church growing up and was very familiar with Jesus. But it wasn't until I was in college that I encountered Jesus in such a personal way, and almost to the point where I'm like, who is this talking to me? And it was like, it's the Lord. So seriously, that's how it felt. And it was this moment of pivot in my life where I thought, I never want to return to my former way of living. I want to press on, and I want to be a witness and a consistent witness for Jesus Christ. And that happened here at Oklahoma State University, where I rededicated my life to Jesus. And it has been a great honor to be a witness for the Lord. And I'm learning more all the time. I certainly don't do it perfectly, but I think as I grow in my knowledge and understanding of Scripture, I've been able to grow in consistency of my witnessing, if that makes sense. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I just am so in awe of the Word of God and the power that Christ has in a life, and certainly the power that Jesus has had in my life, and who I was 20 years ago, and not the same person now because of the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells in me.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that's come up a couple times this week in our Bible study we do with college kids, and a lot of people, and a lot of our college kids, they hear, and they want to be Christians, but they sort of have this what's next, how do I do it moment where they want to know what they should read or how to read the Bible. And I think that that's something, like for me and my story, I didn't really know the Bible. I wasn't raised in church. I wasn't raised in Sunday school where I learned all the stories through Sunday school. I didn't know about David and Goliath and didn't know a lot of the stories. And so I was a little intimidated about the Bible when I started going to chapel in the minor leagues, and was very timid and that I didn't know much and didn't want to be called upon, didn't want to go to Bible study and get called out, get asked questions, because I didn't know. And I didn't want to be embarrassed by the fact that I didn't know much about the Bible. I knew that I believed in Jesus. And I think that there's more people maybe than we know that maybe in similar situation where they don't really know where to start. They don't know the stories of the Bible. They're intrigued with this Jesus, but they don't know what to do. And so we talked a lot about this with our college kids this week, and that, you know, some strategies of what's next. Okay, I want to be a Christian, but what do I do? How do I do it? And what does this look like? And so I just thought it might be important for us to maybe talk about that a little bit with what's next. And we talked about maybe reading the Gospel of John and picking a couple of books in the Bible, or maybe even a couple of books. We talked about Rest and War by Ben Stewart, which is a really good book. But I think maybe you should talk a little bit about what's next when people say, okay, I want to be a follower of Jesus, but I don't. What should I read? Where do I start in the Bible? Do I just start in Genesis and try to read it all the way through? Or do I start in the New Testament and try to read that all the way through? What would you say to that person?
I would say that I learned the statistic the other day that about 80% of Christians in a church have never been discipled. And I would say we do the very best we can with the information that we've been given. And I think as a young woman, I wasn't discipled. And so I went to church with my family, and I have incredible role models, just like you have incredible role models. Like, you have a wonderful mother and a wonderful father. And I, as well, I share that with you. I have a wonderful mom and a wonderful dad. I think, like, chasing a squirrel here, but that had a lot to do with why we were so drawn to one another at a young age, is because we were raised in a very similar fashion. Like, family meant a lot to both of us. And you valued being a son of Tom and Kathy, and I valued being a son or daughter, that'd be weird, the daughter of Janice and Steve. And so I do think that we shared that But another thing that we shared was I was raised in a church. You were not raised in a church, but I was never discipled. And so I didn't understand what it meant to be a follower of Christ, but it was a norm to be exposed to Christ. Do you know what I'm saying? And so 80% of Christians are not discipled. And so what I mean by that is we don't understand what we've pledged our allegiance to. And so the word of God is the only way to really understand what we've pledged our allegiance to. So from a beginner's place, like somebody that has never opened the Bible before, a very good place to start is in the Gospels, because in the Gospels, there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in those Gospels, we get the opportunity to see Jesus Christ, like his birth, his adolescence, his, I guess, about when he was 12 years old, they start, and like his life and how he interacted with people, because John says that he wraps flesh on him and he enters this faith, like he came to dwell among us. And so I think the Gospels are a great place to start. And I think that every gospel is going to appeal to certain personalities. I personally like John, and I told the college kids to start with John. I think John is a beautiful gospel because it is a main theme in John is love. And it's written as a mature man. It wasn't written in like real time. You know what I'm saying? Like it was written as like a reflection piece of literature. Like this is who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was here the whole entire time from Genesis to Revelation is Jesus in this meta narrative, you know, of God. And he wrapped himself up in flesh and came to dwell among us. And I think John is beautiful because all the I am statements are in the book of John. And I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection. I am, you know, I am. And so it helps understand truly like this is how Jesus, this is the identity of Christ. And then it helps us understand the letters better. So we have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Acts, which we're in right now, which is theological history. It helps understand the church. And then we have the letters, the 21 letters. And if we don't understand the Gospels, and if we don't understand what it means to be in Christ, then we certainly can't understand the letters. And so if you're just picking apart these letters without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you're going to read them and they're going to cause a lot of frustration because you're like, man, I can't rid myself of these things. I struggle with anger. I struggle with malice. I struggle with slander. Well, you can't struggle well without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so we have to study the Gospels first, in my opinion. And then like through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to understand the letters because the letters are written to Christians. And then of course, Revelation is at the end. And I recommend waiting for a while before you read that because there's a lot of imagery. But I do think there's wisdom in understanding the Bible as a whole. I think that there's a book called How to Read the Bible Like a Seminary Professor. It's by Mark Yarbrough. It's a great read. It helps you understand like how it all works, how it all fits, because it's not just random. I highly recommend against opening the Bible and just saying, yeah, I want to read that, because context matters. Like the author's intended meaning matters. The guardrails set up in the book matter. It's like the grief you wouldn't open Harry Potter in chapter 7 and think that you have to have the context of the beginning, you know, and you need to know who these people are. And so you don't know unless you read the very beginning, you know? And so the same is true for scripture. But I think the other thing I would say about where do we start? Where do we go? The word of God and the souls of men. That's important. And I think holding the word of God is a non-negotiable, but also being in a community of people where we're held accountable. And there is dialogue about the word of God. And I think community is oftentimes, especially after COVID, I think community, we operate on islands a lot, and that shouldn't be. And so finding a Bible study and getting with a group of men or a group of women, and holding one another accountable and being in community centered and founded on the principles found in scripture, I think is very wise.
That's good. No, I think that's important because I think We've talked to a couple different college kids after Bible study this week that have both said similar things. You know, they weren't really raised in church. They never owned a Bible. They're seeking Jesus, but they need some direction.
Yep. And there's great resources out there. And I think the Bible Project is something I've talked about before over the course of this podcast. It's an amazing resource that can kind of help you understand. It's like a pre-party to the scripture. So if you do John and you're like, man, I'm going to lock into John, you listen to go to the Bible Project, look up John, and then you sort of have this aerial view of what John is, and then you can get into the Word of God. But this has been a joy to be able to do this ministry with you. But like you said earlier, I mean, we're going to lead with vulnerability here. We just can't do it. And our schedule, it's like when you say yes to something, you say no to something else. And so preparing for the teaching to the college kids, I'm in school, I have a job, I have a family, it's just impossible to do all of these things well. And so we just have to take a pause and I don't know, this was hard for, just to be completely honest, this was hard for me because I like to do all things. I sometimes have to be mindful that I'm not omnipresent.
Bible joke.
So I'm not God. We're not on a parallel. It's amazing that he can do all those things because I can't do it all. But really this has been a joy and it's held me accountable to read the Word of God, but I enjoy reading the Word of God. And I'm going to continue to do so. And you can get your journals still on theincrease.com and grab your journals and start where you are. And so start day 140, if it takes that long to get it in. And it's a worthy pursuit. It's an amazing journey. And you feel like you know these guys. Like when I
take, well, you can just start on day one. It doesn't have to be December.
Totally. That's true. Yeah, January absolutely. 1st. Very good.
Start on day one and
get going.
Yeah.
That's right. But this has been a joy. And I apologize that we weren't able to go all 365, but I can't do it. So I need to be a mama this summer and travel around and see. And again, like, you know, what's crazy about life is sometimes you have to submit to the season that you're in. And I didn't know what it felt like to have a boy that doesn't live at home anymore and like are organizing your schedule to where you go see him in certain days. And I think that's what this has taught me more than anything, is having to say, we can't fulfill the 365. I think for me, like just submitting to the season that I'm in life and just being okay with it and knowing that my salvation is based on Christ alone, not on my works. And, you know, and I think sometimes there's this temptation, especially in Christian circles, and that's not even true. I think in all circles in life is that you say you just want this projected image to be like, no, I can do it all. And I can say yes to everything that I like and I want to do. But sometimes you have to say no to things that are really, really good because you just aren't able to have the time to pursue the things that, you know, that you also want to pursue, which is being a mom to a little boy that lives in Aberdeen, Maryland, that I want to go and see and be completely present with him the weeks that we're able to see him. And Ethan and his baseball schedule is all over the place. And to just be present with my kids this summer. You only have so many summers as a mom before they start leaving the nest. And I want to be very present with my kids this summer. So anyway, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, what we talked about, like trying to do this well and do it with in the proper place of where our heart should be. And it's difficult with all the things we have going on. So,
okay. So I think it's fitting. We've read the Bible now for 136 days. At this particular point where you are in scripture right now, who's at your table and what are you eating?
Bible people?
Yeah, that we've talked about over the 136 days of reading scripture with the people on our podcast.
Oh, you mean who are my options?
Whoever. Like, we've been reading scripture together with the Table 40 family for 136 days. Over the course of scripture, we've gone through Genesis to Judges and then, you know, Matthew to Acts. Who's at your table and what are you eating? Mm. Is there anybody that stood out that you were like, you know what? I would love to have dinner with him. And this is what I would love to eat.
Well, I mean, I think it would be fun to be at the prodigal son dinner.
Oh, that's good. That's a good answer.
That I don't know what they're having, but I think that
you know exactly what they're having. Fat and calf.
I know, but I mean, I don't know what the sides are back then. I understand it's steak. But I'm curious how they cooked it and how they seasoned it and what sides they had.
You don't think they went old school Leslie garlic salt and everything?
Or macaroni and cheese. I don't think they had that. I don't know. I don't know what they were eating. Definitely but it's bread. Probably more Mediterranean, right? So it's probably vegetables and bread and steak.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's so many fascinating characters in the Bible. But I'll say that dinner would be interesting with... yeah, all the dynamics that go with that. So I'll take that dinner.
Do you think by the end of the dinner that the prodigal son and the brothers like softened up towards one another? I'm sure the prodigal was like, hey, and the older one was like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe you're here. But do you think they softened up towards the end? Like, how long did it take them to be friends again?
Probably quite a bit of the wine that they brought.
Yeah, it would probably take a lot of wine. Yes, and a lot of meals. And do you think the dad was like the mediator? You know, I mean, it is. That's a really good answer to that question.
Cut the
tension.
Yeah,
that's a really good question. A really good answer to that question. I like that. For me, it's a Moses. Like, as we read Genesis and we read like how apprehensive he was about leadership. And, you know, I've taken that new job, as you know, and leadership is really, really hard. And of course, his dynamic was he led way more people than I do. And that's the understatement of the century. But it's fascinating to me how he started out saying, like, I can't do this. I can't do this. And God's like, yeah, you can. And I'm going to bring you a buddy. Your brother's going to help you. But I just think for me, like sitting down with Moses and like talking about all the things that weren't recorded in scripture about the adversity that he faced, but yet his friendship with God was so beautiful and just what it felt like to walk up the mountain and see the promised land, but not be able to go in and, you know, and like just this relationship that he had with God. And then also the relationship he had with people. And like, I mean, goodness, he had the opportunity to see the Ten Commandments and probably walk down the mountain and think these people are, this isn't going to work. Like, you know, it's just interesting, like the dynamics of people, but what he knew about the beauty of God. You know, I just would be curious to talk to Moses about just his journey with the Lord and his journey leading people and how frustrating, but how exhilarating it must have been over the course of his leadership, you know, and just to see a humanity so fully, like see the beauty. But also because, you know, it had a beautiful relationship with Joshua and Caleb and then, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, that really came alive to me this year reading about Moses, especially with my interest in leadership. And but what was so fascinating, I think, about that is like Moses, like his source of strength came from God alone and through God, he did impossible things. And I just think that that's incredible for all of us that are interested in leadership. Like, man, we can't get away from the basics and how this basic connection, like pursue the basic connection, I guess, is with God, because God should be our source of strength, especially in leadership roles. And anyway, I think it's pretty incredible. But in my meal would be with Moses, it wouldn't be manna. I think he'd be tired of that. He'd be so sad if that's what I pulled out of the dinner table. But I don't know. I think good old fashioned Mediterranean food, probably. Anyway.
Yeah, I think it's be interesting to eat with a
totally interesting to eat with.
I wonder if we'd be like,
I don't know. It'd probably be fresh. I mean, the soil was so much better. It would probably be very fresh and great. And so, and it would be like wood burning. You know, I like that vibe, like the wood burning food and the bread that's not gluten, you know. So it would be probably some good hummus, you know, definitely good cheese. Goat cheese is my favorite. I've got to imagine that there was lots of that. So, and olive oil, pomegranates, like there's all kinds of evidence that there was good stuff there. But yeah, it's good. All right, this has been fun. This has been a journey that I've enjoyed. And we'll just check in with you in a couple months.
Thank you for listening to Table 40 with Matt and Leslie Holiday, part of the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network. For more stories on sports intersecting with faith, visit sportsspectrum.com.